I'm Heather, and I'm Stucco president. And I am here to welcome the new students and class of 2017. So, welcome. On behalf of Student Council and the Barclay College student body, we are so blessed to have you here. Life service and leadership is what we are being prepared for here, and much of that preparation comes from our relationships with each other. So I encourage you to meet new people, try new things, get involved, and see what new things God has in store for you. This is a special place, so take advantage of your time here and this opportunity, and do your best in everything you do. Welcome to being a bear.
I am Glenn Lippert, and I have the privilege of calling the names for the awarding of the academic awards. The list that I will be reading today has been shortened because I have not included those who have graduated at the end of last semester. But the Dean's Fall list is based upon those who have a 3.5 or higher GPA at the end of spring 2013. And we present these because we want to highlight and focus on the fact that this is an academic community. I'm going to ask when your name is called that you'll come forward and make a line clear across the front of the sanctuary. And let's try a little experiment. The first one I call, I will ask you to go south. The second one I call, go north, and alternating all the way through. If you can remember the difference between south and north, we'll make this very short and easy. The first one is Darren Anders. Kagan Auer. Patricia Branson. Brandy Brown. Abby Cox. Casey Eady. Emily Entz. Nathan Fisher. Susan Friesian. Nathaniel Fuller. Rochelle Gresham. Brianna Hack. Brianna Hayes. Paige Helm. Elizabeth Herbel. Brandon Howarth. Natalie Kendall. Ginger Maggard. Mary Mackey. Jalen McCarty. Hannah Meese. Charisse Mulliken. Caitlin Ogle. Angela Richmond. Matthew Schaefer. Kaylin Shuck. Linda Simmons. Morgan Stander. Jennifer Stanley. Heather Thornburg. Jordan Thornburg. Nathaniel Vanderpluk. Lauren Wells. Juliana Weiss. Caitlin Young. And Kenneth Zeiger. Thank you.
I'll be reading from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you, Lois. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. James McGregor Burns is often quoted as saying that transformational leadership occurs when one or more persons engage with others in such a way that leaders and followers raise one another to higher levels of motivation and morality. My name is Jim LaShana. I am the Vice President of Academics here at Berkeley and Director of the Graduate Programs, and more specifically, the Master of Arts in Transformational Leadership Professional Studies program. And someday, many of you need to be a part of that master's program, just to throw that out there. I've been asked to introduce to you today's speaker. And a year ago, I had the opportunity to do this, which was kind of interesting because we'd only worked together at that time for a couple of weeks. So at that point, I guess you could say I had some impressions, but some of my comments were made also on faith. Today, I have more than 2 weeks, at least a year and a few weeks, of having the privilege of working closely with our speaker. And so today, I share these thoughts with you with a high degree of confidence about things that I have observed that you may or may not know about him. Royce is a man of deep commitment. He is deeply committed to the Lord. He's committed to the mission of Berkeley College to prepare students in a Bible-centered environment for effective Christian life, service, and leadership. And if you are new here and you haven't heard that mission statement much, you will in the days ahead. Royce is committed to excellence in the classroom and in the office. He is a scholar and a practitioner. I have seen him attempt to live out the things that I hear him talking about as theory. He's committed to working with others in that regard, to raise one another to higher levels of motivation and morality, and more specifically, higher levels of living for Christ and making a difference in this world for Christ. I've seen it here over this past year. He's a man of vision. What I've seen in Royce is a man who isn't afraid to dream big, to see what could be, not just what is. He is a visionary, and when there are roadblocks that come up, what I've seen in him is a person who doesn't get stuck at the roadblock, but who sees and looks for and sees the new pathways to accomplish God's purposes. I see in him a great teammate and a friend, someone who cares for his co-workers, these others who are sitting before you. He cares for them. He loves his own family, and he loves the Church of Jesus Christ. And I can say with a great deal of confidence that he loves you and cares for you. He is someone who, in fact, I'm not sure I've heard him use the phrase an open door policy. I've seen him practice an open door policy. He is someone who is approachable. He cares about you and where God is leading you in your life. He wants to help you to make a difference in this world for Christ. And so it really is my privilege to introduce to you today the president of Berkeley College, Dr. Royce Frazier.
It is a real privilege, and I mean that sincerely, to be able to address the Berkeley College family on this day and my colleagues, and to just, I hope, set the pace for us this year. Would you pray with me? Father, would you be in this moment? Would you sit in our midst? Would you break these words, and would you give them to us, Father, as you see fit? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Isaiah 60:1-3 says this: Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and in deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I believe God gave me that, laid that those verses on my heart when I became president of this institution. Rise and shine, for your light has come. My message today to you, the family of Barclay College, and my colleagues is this: it's not good enough to succeed. We need you to lead. The church and the world are facing a leadership challenge. We need thinkers, we need communicators, we need visionaries, and we need those with a broad education, not just academics, but not void of academics. This summer, Donnie used in his sermons here the example of Moses, and several of his sermon illustrations pointed out some real truths about this man. Moses was part of a royal family in their world of God, and he was a birthright slave. He was a murderer. He was rejected. He was a fugitive. He was both a fugitive from his adopted family and his birthright family. He was a vagabond, an outcast, and a social leper. And God called him to be a leader. In Exodus 3, we find these words for Moses: I must turn aside. It was when he saw the burning bush, and it was the encounter with God where God said, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. It was the beginning of God's grand plan for Moses and also for his people. Who could have guessed? Who could have guessed? This summer, both Dr. LaShawna and Dr. Halverstadt have traveled to denominational gatherings, to church organizations and conferences, and they both returned with the same message that has really spurred my thoughts for today. The message is that there's a leadership gap. Where are the young leaders? Our leadership is aging, and there are no new leaders on the horizon. There's a lack of young leaders in the church. The mission of Barclay College, as you just heard, is to prepare students in a Bible-centered environment for effective Christian life, service, and leadership. For some of you, this may be your I must turn aside. Just like Moses, you may find holy ground here. And I just remind you, it's no longer good enough to just succeed in your life. We need you to lead. Over the past few months, I've had a number of conversations with leaders about leaders. Our longtime leaders have engaged and they have aged. They have aged slowly and quietly and ever so subtly. We know it happens, and yet it's taken us by surprise today. One more year. Where did the time go? We always thought there'd be one more year. These are leaders who demonstrated that it wasn't good enough for them to succeed. They knew they had to lead. They have served with distinction. They have innovated. They have celebrated. They have led us where no man has gone before. They have looked at the whys and asked why not. And they have dreamed the dream. And now they're retiring, they're stepping aside, because they know it's not good enough just to succeed. We need people to lead. Now they've examined themselves and their future, and though they can see it, they admit, I can't lead it. The brilliance of the future demands more than they can give. So just within the Friends denomination over the last 3 years, there have been at least 5 leadership yearly meeting superintendent positions that have become vacant. And the transition has been difficult. Actually, there are more, but they are situations where we have looked for leaders. These leaders have left behind roles that are very vital to the church. Roles that demand vision, roles that require commitment, roles that call for God's reflection, roles that call for courage, roles that are uncertain, roles that may not be easy. They are roles that cause one to pause before God and ask how and when and what if, and even sometimes, why me? Roles that require humility. Roles that we cannot address by just succeeding. We must have those who are leading. Over the past decade, leadership studies have made the startling discovery there's a single characteristic that has linked the great leaders of the past century. Would you like to guess what it is? The characteristic is humility. Christians would say that's a character of Christ, and it is. And Jesus was the most transformational leader who has ever lived. Leadership calls for roles that require humility. Moses had been crushed in the crucible of life. He knew humility, he knew rejection, he knew loneliness. He knew what it meant to be unloved, to be unwanted, to be unworthy. It was not good enough, though, for Moses to quietly succeed in the desert. God needed him to lead. Barna Research recently made this statement in one of their research pieces, that the mean age of senior pastors in this country in the mainline denominations over the last decade has risen from 48 years to 55 years. Let me say that again. The average age of senior pastors in mainline denominations has risen from 48 years of age to 55 years of age in a mere 10 years. That is a startling and stark statistic. One of the reasons the research group points out, one of the two reasons that we are in this leadership challenge is because of the lack of young leaders. And I'm looking at you. Did you know that 2/3 of the American Christians in this country say there's a critical gap between their calling and their daily occupation? Let me say that again. 2 out of 3 American Christians say there's a critical gap between their occupation and their calling. What a way to live your life. So what is this thing called calling? And what does it have to do with leadership? It's your giftedness. It's your passion. It's your sweet spot, as I tell our faculty and staff. It's what you were fearfully and wonderfully made for. It's not always easy, it's not always profound, and it's not always simple, and it's not always convenient. But for the called individual in that sweet spot, in that calling, it's not enough to succeed. We need you to lead. Today I'm looking across this auditorium into the faces of young leaders. You, the young adults who should not be content to simply succeed, but to lead. Business needs you, education needs you, medicine needs you, healthcare needs you, mental health needs you. Marriages need you, families need you, your children need you, your peers need you, your country needs you, your world needs you, and most of all, your God needs you to lead his church triumphant. It's not enough for you to just succeed in your life. We need you to lead. Like the leaders that are moving on, we need you to be the ones now that lead us where no man has gone before. To look at the whys and say, why not? And to dream a dream. Just like the disciples, though, you may find that this leadership is costly. You may be broken and beaten, criticized and crucified, beheaded and betrayed, tortured and trampled for the cause of Christ. Many would say that's not success. But many would also say that's leadership. So my challenge to you, Barclay College family, and students of 2013, is that you understand that you are here for a reason. You are here to begin to prepare yourself to lead, not just to succeed. It wasn't good enough for Noah to be a good, righteous man to succeed. God needed him to lead. It wasn't good enough for Abraham to be only a righteous man to succeed. God needed him to lead. It wasn't good enough for Joseph to rise in power and to be a righteous man. God needed him to lead. It wasn't good enough for Joshua to be a good spy to succeed. God needed him to lead. wasn't good enough for David to be a good shepherd and kill lions and bears and tigers. To succeed, God needed him to lead. Wasn't good enough for Paul to be a good Pharisee and protect the faith. God needed him to lead. And it wasn't good enough for Jesus to succeed as part of the Godhead, the three in one, at the right hand of the Father. He took it upon himself to come to earth, to lead the church, and redeem us to him. Someday, I hope it is you, the young leaders gathered here today, who will be teaching students at Barclay College, who will be addressing the accreditation processes, who will be training our pastors and missionaries, youth ministers, business leaders, educational leaders, recreational leaders, worship leaders, psychology leaders, and theological thinkers. It will be you who will be answering the leadership question for the Friends Church. It'll be you that will be answering the leadership question for the church global, all denominations. It will be you who will be addressing the leadership needs of the church. One of you may be delivering this convocation address as president of this institution. Don't settle. Don't settle to just succeed. We need you to lead. God bless you as we enter this year, as we walk together in what God has planned for us. And remember, it's not good enough for you to succeed. We need you to lead. Thank you.
The word that we have heard from the Lord this morning is a message of humility and a life of service as a leader, serving others, loving God, and loving others. And so as we sing the song of dedication, of asking God and praying to God to take our lives, here we are, Lord, use me, send me, I just encourage you to respond in faith and obedience to the word that you have heard from the Lord this morning. Would you please stand and join with me as we sing together?